Good evening, all. It's Monday night, and we are the Tilton Talk Show, sponsored by Small Affordable Cars. I'm Paul Hipkiss, and we're joined tonight by Mark Meredith.
Good evening, all.
Alan Watton.
Good evening, everyone.
Mark Adams.
Good evening, everybody. Hope you're okay.
And the main man on the buttons, Chris Brown.
Good evening.
And tonight we are without Claire and Craig for the time being. Claire's able to join us at all tonight, unfortunately, but we're hoping that Craig might be able to spend a bit of time with us later from a box in St Andrews, probably stroking a cat on his knee. I think they're both at St Andrews for a meeting, aren't they, for the official supporters club, is it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It is the OSC. So we have a smaller team tonight, but yeah, let's get straight into it then, guys. So obviously we came out on the wrong end of a Championship Classic match, obviously a 7-goal thriller at St Andrews, and it was a bit heartbreaking in the end, wasn't it, Alan, when we conceded that 96-minute winner?
96-minute winner, and he managed to find 9 minutes. What gets me is most of that time wasted was by them. When they went up to 3-2, they started messing around like no tomorrow, and they didn't do much when it was 3-3, and they didn't actually do a fat lot then. That they were probably happy with the point then, and suddenly realised we were knackered, and so they benefited from their own misbehaviour, basically. And the end of the day, the referee, it's his opinion how much time is added on. It doesn't have to be, you know, down to the nanosecond. If he thinks that, well, the time we've lost is because the side that's actually winning the game now, he can decide one way or the other. So I just got the impression with the sending off, with the offside goal, the officials weren't going to let us win. You know, we didn't have the opportunity to win the game. Having said that, I tell you, as a football fan, they spoiled what should have been an epic game. Forget the score. It was a cracking game of football, or should have been, and it was spoiled. You know, we'll never know what the true result would have been. We might have still lost. You know, they had enough possession to score 10 goals. Yeah. Our goalkeeper, after it was one apiece, he pulled off some blindy saves. He could be criticised for the goal because it went through his legs. But then he stopped us getting a thrashing. And it was, as I say, I came out of St Andrews fuming and you know, facing a 4-hour journey in that bubble and all that. And I shouldn't have been, because the football match itself should have been worth the effort, and it was spoiled. And that's not about winning and losing. That's just about the game being run incorrectly. And I could take the defeat if we were given a fair crack of the whip, which we weren't. We weren't.
Yeah, well, that's what VAR is there for in the Premier League. And would we all sort of vouch to want it in the Championship, or are we all against it? Or what are the thoughts if it did come into the Championship? Do we think, you know, would it come out on the right side of the results on Saturday with it?
Not if you're Birmingham City. Nothing ever comes out on the right, you know, nothing ever does us a favour.
No. I mean, we got off to a great start, didn't we? It was a brilliant goal from Miyoshi. I mean, I must admit, from where I was sat, I thought there was suspicion of handball live at the time when I saw it in front of me. But watching it back on the highlights, obviously, it looks more like his chest about there, doesn't it? But he didn't have took it away. Well, what a goal that was. And then,
I mean, he took, like you say, Paul, his control, close control was superb. To get that little sort of spring to bring it down and finish. We started like a steam train, didn't we? We looked so good at the start. Yeah. But, I mean, fair play. I mean, I think Southampton were the best team we've seen at St Andrews. And I think they played better than Leicester did, to be fair. You can tell they're sort of bound for the Premier League. But, I mean, having such a massive budget helps, doesn't it? But to go toe-to-toe with them, I mean, you can't score 3 goals and expect, you know, really we should have got something out of that. It was a shame that the winning goal was such a scrappy, you know, sloppy goal to give away.
And Mark Meredith, before we went live, I've just said my frustration at Blues out of possession. We stand off our opposition and give them far too much time and space on the ball, in my opinion. And as a coach, is it not surely, you know, something that we should instruct the players to close? You know, you have to hunt your players in packs when you're out of possession and close them down as quickly as you can. And, you know, for at least two of those goals on Saturday, we were standing off them, weren't we? We were allowing them to put easy crosses in, or, you know, play an easy through ball without any pressure on them.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, it's typical Blues, isn't it? We sit back, we've sat back for so many years and just invited pressures to come against us. And against a team like Southampton, where we know that they're going to possess probably 90% of the game, I think you've got to have a little bit more about yourself, and you do have to go into those areas earlier and close those spaces down. I don't know. Defensively, we struggle. Defensively, we struggled now probably most of the season. It's difficult because, like Mark just said, you can't score three goals at home and then still go away with zero, you know, with no points. That's hard to take, and it's tough because you can see the players are working hard. Like, you can't, I don't think on Saturday you could turn around and go that, you know, you could get the odd moments of players not doing the right thing, but I think the core of them really did put themselves about against a really, really good team. We wasn't helped by referees' decisions. You know, we conceded a late goal, but the biggest thing right now is, you know, 2 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago, we won two on the bounce. We're 6 points ahead of the relegation zone. We're here today. It's one goal away now. You know, we've leaked four goals again in the game at home. We've lost the game. We go to Hull tomorrow, which is normally a no-point game for us when we go away to Hull. So I don't want to sound negative with it, because I don't think the performance was too bad. No. It just worries me that we are being sucked deeper into it. And looking at it, I was looking on Saturday night about it, and to think that we've, including interim managers as well, so I think we've had six different people in charge, with that being either one or two games in the season. We've had six different leaders out there on the touchline in charge of the guys, and that's tough. You know, we have to have the consistency. And when you look at it as a club and as a team, there's been no consistency in leadership. There's been no consistency in performance, in results, and also just in the starting 11. And if that may be down to injuries and suspensions and just players coming out because they need a rest, and we don't have a massive squad, but I don't remember when we've gone into a run of results going, this is our best 11 on the pitch. You know, we're picking results up home and away, even if it's only 1 point here and there. And we're going on a consistent run, and unfortunately we're being sucked back down there again. And again, it was hard to take Saturday, because I thought we probably deserved a draw in the end. I don't know where we got 9 minutes of injury time from, but the clear thing is, we come out of another game with no points, and we've got two really tough games ahead, and our game in hand is Middlesbrough, which is not going to be easy. So I think it's just, it's getting the pack together again, so to speak, with Venus or Mowbray or wherever that's going to be, and really now trying to force the information to them that we're working hard. We don't have that extra little bit of quality to get the points right now.
Yeah, I just think the timing of everything has all come at once, hasn't it? We've got, obviously, we're decimated for defenders, you know, and God bless him, Tony Mowbray obviously has fallen well at this time as well. And just as we're getting into the business end of the season, you know, we a lot of things are going against us, and nothing's more important than Tony Mowbray's health, obviously. And I hope he can get back soon and get himself sorted. But it was good to hear Mark Venus last week give us some positive updates on that. And I'm hoping we'll see him back sooner rather than later. But I think it is going to be at least another month, isn't it? And we've got so many games in March.
I think March is our most important right now, and I think that's the difficult thing is getting through those 4 weeks now without him, and being in a position where we're still above the bottom three, and we're pushing and we're going. And listen, I feel that we've got a good enough team to stay up. I do, but my biggest thing is now as a fan is the results on the field is what is to speak about it, and we're not getting those. So we can't sit here and go, we'll definitely stay up, because right now we probably in the Championship are the favourites to be in that bottom three, because people like QPR getting results away at the top of the league on Saturday, just proves that these teams are all fighting and getting results when they need to. So we're certainly not out of it. I wish Tony Mowbray the best. What I would say is I think the decision, whatever the decision was to let Kevin Long go, I think it was a bad one. Now, that may have been the player himself that wanted to go.
Yeah.
But we're in a dire situation now with defenders. And he, again, I watched him in the MLS. And don't get me wrong, I live here in the States, and MLS is not a strong league. But it's his second game last night, his second clean sheet for the team. This is a team that probably kept one clean sheet all season last year. Have now played two and conceded no goals in both games that Long's played. I'm not saying that's him, but he's solid, he's smart, he defends well, and we're going to miss that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Alan, I mean, we're lacking leaders, aren't we, at the moment? We haven't had a leader on the field for a long time, really.
Can I just draw your attention to something? Three games ago, we beat Blackburn 1-0. We kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Now, back line was Drame, Roberts, Bielik, and Lang.
Yeah,
we haven't had that back line since.
No,
we've not only have we had to change it game by game. In some games, we've had to change it a couple of times within the 90 minutes. So, getting that cooperation and playing with each other and understanding. It just keeps disappearing, and you've had a go at Sanderson. The poor bloke was injured. He come in, different partner. Next game, different partner, and today you get suddenly he got sent off. You know what kind of momentum can that give anybody, let alone him? When you're being basically changed every game, and sometimes twice in a game.
Going back to that Blackburn game, sorry, Alan, going back to that Blackburn game as well, another massive thing that we had was our leader on the touchline, which I think is what we're really badly missing at the moment on a match day.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah. We haven't had a proper leader on the pitch, like I just said, for a while. I don't know, though. Who would you say was the last proper captain we had? Probably Michael Morrison or Robbo, was it?
Robbo, yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Barry Ferguson.
Anthony Bailey here, I've kept this comment. So we've been backing off all season. Sanderson is the chief backer offer.
Yeah. No. I'd go with that.
Yeah. I agree with you, mate. For that one goal, he was standing off again, wasn't he? He was just standing in no man's land, and he gives him a free shot on the edge of the box. And okay, he probably shouldn't have got there, and he shouldn't have got to be in that position to have the shot. I think I'm talking about the second goal now. Shea equalised, didn't he? Shea Adams. So this is their third goal. I think it's put them 3-2 up.
Shea got the third, didn't he? I think didn't Shea
Adams get the third? No, it was the one where Buchanan fell over.
That's the one. Yeah,
that was the equaliser.
But as soon as Buchanan fell over, he was then one-on-one with Sanderson, if you like, or Sanderson was away from him. And he should have been rushing out to narrow the angle down to give him less to shoot at, but he was just backing off and standing still in no man's land, and he gave him a free shot
in the end. Couldn't miss.
Can I just say something on that though, and I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody here. Like I openly say that I think Roberts and Long was probably our best partnership so far this year. But I think, we talk about when Rooney came in and the different style he chose to play. And a lot of these players, Sanderson being a massive one of those, couldn't play that system. The issue was he was pushing the centre-backs and the defence up pretty high. He was obviously playing with his full-backs really high, and he was leaving those two a little bit, just isolated in there. And then Mowbray's come in, and obviously Mowbray wants to go back to playing a little bit more simple as we want. But even as a professional footballer, it must be difficult, as I say, to have six different people leading you in 8 months. We're not even talking a year. We're talking 8 months of a season. Different ideas, different instructions, different ways to play. I don't think these two centre-backs right now know if to go to the ball or not to go to the ball. I don't think it's that instruction is kind of clear in their head of, we need you to press this every time, and then we need somebody to come in and block and whatever else. And I've talked about it a couple of times this year, and I know people don't like it. And again, I'm not a big fan of it as a coach, but I still think right now with the troubles we're in, you play three centre backs, and then that way you always have that one sweeping up in behind to do it. Because I don't think we're strong enough defensively to play the four that we have and stop leaking the goals we're leaking every week, which is the same things. It's a slip. It's somebody not pushing the ball. It's somebody going in behind. Why not try it? But the problem we're going to have right now is if we do try it and we bring Longuello in as left as a wing back, then we're playing five outside back, so to speak, in our defense, because that's what we have right now. So it's difficult to do that as we speak for tomorrow, maybe. But maybe that's an idea moving forward if we do get Roberts back or Bellick and try it. He says that Buchanan can play there. He says that Dremar can play there. Give him a chance. Give all three of them a chance, and let's see if we can push our wing backs. I believe Longuello can play as a wing back if he's got defensive behind him, because I think he's more of an attacking player than he's a defender. And I'd love to see Laird going forward on the right side. So you know, for me, it's worth a try. Still play two up top then, but obviously then you've got to pull out one of your midfielders, and that's a hard choice because the midfielder aren't doing too bad right now.
Mark, just going back to Long, I'm just curious as to how much say would he have had in the matter of him going, if any?
I honestly think that they've told him he's only on a year by year, as he has been since he's been here. I think Mowbray's probably come in and had his chats with his players and said, listen, you're not in the plans next year. We're looking to bring in younger players. And I think Long's probably said, well, I've got this opportunity now to go to America. I can get a visa for myself and my family. Yeah. You know, let me go now and do that, so that then at the end of the season, if I want to stay on, a little bit like Ridgey did when Liam Ridgewell went over here, they stay on as coaches here and, you know, they build a life here with their families. It's one good way of getting into the country on visas through the MLS.
Yeah.
So I think he would have had some say about it. I don't think he's just been told, right, we're shipping you off to America. It may be just for him, if he's retiring at the end of the year, it might be just a future plan for him and his family.
Good
comment from Pete Taylor earlier. Remember when we couldn't score? Well, sorry, remember when it was hard to score against, but we couldn't score?
Yeah.
That's the other way around now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just think we need some... Sorry, Paul. Just think we need some warriors up and down, you know, in our penalty box at both ends. We were talking the last few weeks about, you know, our strikers don't dive in and they're not finishing the game with, you know, blood all over the noses. You know, just, you know, I know it sounds corny, but we need it at both ends. I mean, there was no sort of... Nobody took charge of those aerial balls on Saturday in our defence. There's nobody busting a gut to hear it or...
Yeah.
I think there were some good performances out there on Saturday. I thought Laird had a good game. I thought Iwu had his best game in a blue shirt as well. I didn't think he particularly played too bad. I will give Sanderson some credit for the ball over the top for Stansfield's goal, which
was a good ball. Yeah.
I mean, I know their defender flicked it onto him, but even so, it was still a good knock over the top. The distance he had to run with that and the finish that he found was just top class, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What we forget about as well is just after Malachi scored, Bakuna had that shot off the post. Any other team, it bounces off the post, hits the goalkeeper on the back of the head and rolls in the goal, right? We've seen it so many times.
I've never seen one like that. I've never seen one not go in the net. It was hit the back of the goalkeeper's head and gone in.
Right?
Yeah. That went out for a corner. How did he do that?
If that's 2-0, it changes. If that's 2-0 at that stage, 5 minutes into the game, it changes everything.
Absolutely. I think we'd have gone on to win comfortably then.
Yeah, I said that at the time. I said the second goal now in this game is massive. You know, if they get it, then it completely changes the game. If we get it, then I think we could go on and win comfortably. I did say that to the people around me at the time. And, you know, like you say, anybody else, it probably comes off the post, it's the goalie and goes in, doesn't it?
How
many times have those guys down the road scored this year with massive deflections that have gone into the goal? Yeah. Because I've lost count on how many times I've seen it. Not with just them, but with everybody.
Yeah.
And give us a break here.
On a scale of 1 to 10, everyone here and everyone watching as well, give us your numbers on the shout box. How concerned are we about relegation? What's your relegation radar on? Relegation worried radar at 1 to 10.
Really?
You think we're going to get? That's more or less thinking we're going to get relegated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
Because the games, we've got some tough games, and we've got some games against the bottom. And knowing us, our games against the bottom are the ones we're going to fall down on, because they're busting their gut. What we could do with is playing three or four games against people who are in the middle of the table and have gone, you know, they're on the beach.
Yeah.
I look at all the fixtures and I think, I can't see one that's going to be like that. You know, because it's to do with the league being so tight. I mean, we played Norwich the last game and I watched the highlights of the Norwich game on one program. And they're talking about Norwich being on the edge of the playoffs. So by the time we play them, they won't be on the beach. They'll be fit and firing. Mm. And it's tough. And if we can't win by scoring three goals, how are we going to win? You know, I've been on and on all year about with a one goal a game team, and we've got to start upping that. Well, we've upped that, but we're letting them in the other end at double the rate that we did before. Yeah. You know, our defensive record was half decent. Now it's, you know, we've 7 goals in the last 2 games. Mm. You know, that's, you can't do that. You know, we got to win. I'd have swapped that Saturday for, exciting though it was, I would have been happy to be bored to tears, cold, and 1-1-0. You know, yeah. I'm not going there for entertainment. I'm not going there, you know, I'm going there to see us grind out a 1-0.
Shouldn't we be going there at all for, you know, entertainment? Isn't that really what I mean? I know we're all passionate fans, but it's still the entertainment business.
It's a results business.
I'd take a 1-0 every week, honestly.
If I want entertainment business, I could say the theatre. You know what I mean?
Isn't it a theatre?
It's a circus at times, right? To be honest,
I mean, for me, the first and most important thing is the result. If we win playing well, then that's a bonus. But I'd rather win playing badly than lose playing well. You know, and we've had so many over the years. I've been watching them, and I'm sure we can all now, off the top of our heads, probably name 2 or 3 1-0s that we've scrapped.
Yeah.
You know, and being the worst team probably in those games. But I'd rather take that than like Saturday where we played well and lost. You know, like we did against Leicester at home, we played well and lost, didn't we? We played well and lost a lot of times this season and over the years. And I'd rather win playing badly than lose playing well. But that's just me. I'd rather just get them 3 points on the board.
I was going to say, how about you, Paul? What's your rating? Rating?
I came back at you, Alan, a few weeks ago, I remember, and I was not concerned at all about relegation, but this was before Tony Mowbray was unwell. Since this has happened now, I am more concerned with, obviously, the time he's going to be out and, you know, that lack of leadership that we're going to have on the touchline. That's nothing against Mark Venus, but Mark Venus, he's not a manager. You know, we need a proper manager to get us through this. And we've got one, but sadly, you know, he's got to go through this treatment. And, you know, like I said earlier, nothing's more important than that. But, you know, I am more concerned than what I was a few weeks ago, put it that way. But I would probably say that my number out of 10 now is probably, it was a 4, and it's probably now a 6.5, I would say.
Yeah. So I was going to say a 6.
I still think we've got enough to stay up there. But like you said, Al, looking at the fixture, it is a bit more concerning. And, you know, my only hope with Norwich is that they'll already be in the playoffs by then, and they'll do what Huddersfield did against us a few years ago and just filled out the kids.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
You know, we've still got to go to Leicester. We've still got to play Coventry at home. You know, but we haven't beat them very often in the last 10 years.
But, you know, we need to... they need to do it for Tony Mowbray, don't they? That's what they need to do. And I'm sure he's in touch with the lads via Zoom or whatever, you know, at the training ground and stuff. I'm sure he's having video calls with him if he's well enough to do that. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but hopefully he's able to, you know, rally the troops, shall I say, virtually, rather than on the touchline on a match day. But even so, when they cross that white line, you know, you need your leader on the side, don't you? You do need that, and at the moment we don't have it.
Just in regards to your question, Paul, scores out of 10, I would say on Facebook it seems to be 7 pluses. They're a bit more moderate on YouTube, I'd say a bit more mid-range. But, yeah.
What's yours, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I'm probably... No. I think we'll be okay. I'd give us a 4.
There's got to be 3 worse teams than us in that league, surely.
Of course, yeah. It's too much time.
But looking at it, though, I mean, they all won the weekend, the teams below us. How on earth are QPR going...
Sheffield Wednesday, where are they coming from?
QPR go to Leicester and win. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's unreal.
You know.
My biggest concern is exactly like I agree with Alan totally on it, is Sheffield Wednesday away this year for me was probably our worst performance. And we sat on the show a week before that saying, you know what, this Sheffield Wednesday is a massive game for us. It's a relegation game. Yeah. You know, we'll be okay. We should have enough to beat them. We went there and I thought it was the worst we played. Go to QPR and do that, and you lose to Millwall and those teams around you. I look at it now and I think I would have actually kept QPR in there. Now QPR are above us, only on goal difference, but they're above us. And then you've got Huddersfield and Stoke below, who are two pretty good teams. Like, they're not, you know, Stoke for me on a relegation team. But again, people say that about us, but it's the results on the field, and either of us, Stoke or ourselves, are not getting those, and that's why we are where we are.
There's another factor that is bothering me. The fact that we've got 9 blokes out of contract at the end of the year, where is their motivation? Where's they? You know, they don't care whether they're in the side or out the side, whether they play well or not. You know, I'm probably exaggerating, because professional footballers, I hope, are professional enough to whatever the situation is, they play for their careers, right? Mm. If I have a good 4 months at Birmingham and my contract ends, I'm going to be snapped up like that. If Birmingham go down and I'm looked on as one of the causes of that, people won't snap me up. That's how I would like them to be thinking. However, human beings are human beings, and, you know, when things go against you, you know, you can drop your shoulders, drop your head, and think, oh, well, what am I bothering for? That's a factor that is, and I'm sure other teams have got 5 or 6 players in the side whose contracts are up at the end of the year. It's a common thing in football these days. But we've got 9.
The only, I'm just looking at the table now, Alan. I can see that Middlesbrough, obviously that Middlesbrough game next Tuesday night is massive for us. They are probably the only team that we need, you know, that we're left to play, that is mid-table, that's like 14th. They ain't going to go up, they ain't going to go down. You know, they're on 44 points and they're just literally smack bang mid-table. But after what's happened earlier in the season, it's sod's law, ain't it, that we're in a fight with John Eustace as well, because they're not out of it either, Blackburn.
He's had a terrible start, hasn't he?
He hasn't won a game yet, has he?
He hasn't won a game.
It is a bit concerning, but I personally think we'll have enough. I think we'll be okay. Mm. That's just my opinion. I hope I'm right. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, light up a cigar that I'm that confident, though. I am a bit concerned, I'm not going to lie. I'm a lot more concerned than what I was a few weeks ago, put it that way. Yeah. But let's go back to the game, then we'll talk about the red card on Sanderson now, and then we'll move on to obviously other things. But last thing on Saturday's game was obviously the red card on Deion Sanderson, and where I was sat, obviously in the middle of the cup, obviously I couldn't really see from that angle what had happened. I could see that he'd gone in and didn't pretty much get the ball, but, you know, I was surprised at a straight red live at the time. But watching it back, you know, with the rules of the modern game, I just thought maybe a red is, you know, the rules in today's game, and that's why the referee gave it. And let's not forget, he had a split second to give that red. But I thought, my opinion was, seeing it back, I thought it was a yellow card at worst, you know, because he didn't, don't get me, with his stud showing like that, if he'd have contacted him full on, it could have done some serious damage, but the reality is he didn't. But, you know, maybe what made the referee do that in real time, in that split second, was he must have saw his stud showing and then just give him a straight red card for dangerous play. But if we appeal that, do we think we'll get it rescinded? Or what's our opinions, first and foremost, on the red card? And if we appeal it, do we think we'll get it rescinded?
We should have done it by now, else he can't play tomorrow, can he?
No.
So why haven't somebody, you know, I've not read anything that we've have tried to get it rescinded.
I'm guessing.
That's a bit bothered, have we?
No.
With those rules now in the game, it's kind of spoilt it for me a bit because the physicality's come out of it. You know, that wouldn't have been a foul 20, 30 years ago, would it? Nowhere near. Yeah, 15, wouldn't have even probably been a foul, never mind a yellow.
No. Wouldn't have been a free kick.
Ironically, Paul, after our discussions this week, there was an exact exactly the same incident in the Rangers Motherwell game. The bloke just went in and blocked him off, and he gave, I think it was a Rangers penalty. They lost in the end, but they gave a penalty. No card, no finger wagging, nothing. The bloke just took him out, blocked him. And he didn't hurt him. You know, he blocked him.
Yeah.
Body check. And the referee, and I thought it was amazing. It was almost like a replay. And the Motherwell centre half, as I say, penalty, no arguments, no bookings, no finger wagging, nothing. And we got on with the game, and I thought, well, you know, this is at Ibrox Park where people think that Rangers get every decision going. They got the penalty, but they weren't suddenly finding themselves playing against 10 men. You know, and they lost. Now, if we'd not had 10 men, I don't think we would have lost.
No, you know? In hindsight, probably not in hindsight. No, good shout from Michael Woods here. Bielix won at Plymouth. His red card at Plymouth was a nothing tackle, and that never got rescinded. So they'll probably give up appeal. But Mark Meredith, give us your thoughts on the red card, mate.
It can go both ways, can't it? I agree with you, Paul. I think when you see it back on the replay, I think with his studs up and the new rule in the game, I think that the referee's probably given what he thinks is the rule of the game at that time. So I wouldn't argue the fact of that. Now, if you slow it down, it'd be actually interesting to see if VAR would look at it and slow it down and see. Because actually, Sanderson does turn and put his butt in the way a little bit to block at the end. It's not all studs, but I think, as you say, in that point second, the referee seeing those studs and then seeing the cut on the knee of the player that has gone down, I think it's just for him, he's gone in with his studs, he's cut the knee, so it's high, it's a red card. So I don't think there's an argument about it on what he's seen and what he gave. It's just harsh that I don't know. It's a tough one. You could argue both ways. If it was against us, do we argue that it's not a red and we're playing against 10 men? I don't know if we do. I don't think it would be rescinded. I think the team probably, the club probably know that. So yeah, I think he takes his three games and we have to move on. Unfortunately, we're just in a situation where we don't have any defenders. But I'm looking back, I can't even remember the game, and I think it may have been on either Buchanan or Laird. It was one of them. You remember when he got one and he went right into his knee and there wasn't even a yellow card or a foul given? Do you remember that early on in the season? I can't remember the game or the, like I say, or the, but I just remember the tackle where someone's come in and smashed him in the knee and he didn't even give a foul. It might have been the Ipswich game. I can't remember, but
yeah,
I'd say it just seems to be against us all the time. But at the end of the day, it was taken, and I don't know what the result would have been with 11 players. The one thing would be is that the red card probably would have taken 2 minutes off the injury time clock. So who knows? You know.
People are pointing out that it was Leicester at home. That challenge on
Leicester. It was.
In a straight red. Was it Dewsbury Hall? I can't remember who the player was. To be fair. No doubt people will tell me, but who was the player that did that challenge? Because it was definitely a straight red. I remember it at the time, and there was contact. There was a lot more contact on that one than there was on Sanderson's as well.
100%.
Tom Richardson says, "Anyone going to address the rumour of the ref being a Wednesday fan?" And does it matter?
I know. I mean, that happened right in front of, you know, where I sit. And at the time, I was fuming. I was like, absolutely livid. I thought, that's, you know, that's a joke. But then when you sort of calm down the next day and you look at it again, you think, well, actually, you know, you can sort of understand a bit of reasoning behind it. It's just pure, at the time, you're just absolutely mad as anything. Mm. But you can understand it a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, the ref overall, I thought he was poor anyway. I think he was one of the worst we've had.
I think for me in the modern game, there's a lot of things that aren't better than what they were before. And one of them is, you know, the offside rule. The other one is the handball rule. The handball rule is ridiculous. The other thing that drives me insane with the offside rule is they don't put the linesman just will not put the flag up straight away, will he? Or let them run through. Someone's going to break their leg or something unnecessarily one of these weeks. Like I've said on here before, you know, for that reason. And it just drives me mad. Every time a player goes through, you're like, go on then. Because he hadn't put his flag up. You think he's on, you know, he's onside. And then he hits the shot. And then sometimes it might even go in the back of the net and he's going to put his flag up.
They're so slow. It's unbelievable,
I think we're probably seeing the last days of linesmen anyway, I think.
There was a big penalty shout in the second half. And the guy who committed it, he actually demonstrated for 5 minutes after this incident what he'd done. And every time he demonstrated what he'd done to his mates, I was thinking, I agree with you, mate. That's a penalty. You know, he'd done this sort of thing and knocked the ball away with his hand. We didn't get that. That was a crucial. I think that would have actually put us in the lead if we'd have got that. You feel embarrassed to be talking about referees when you've lost, but the facts are there. We couldn't have done much more. Could have defended better, I suppose, but. We couldn't have done much more in that game of football. A, to entertain the public. B, to, you know, there was nobody on that pitch to you say, well, he did nothing. Everybody, you know, backs to the wall and everybody was throwing themselves about and whatever. But just run out of steam in the end. Because we suddenly we played 105 minutes. We played 105 minutes of football. You know, you're only supposed to play 90 plus two. It's unbelievable I'm just speechless, basically. And I don't want to be blaming referees for mishaps, but no. That bloke did. Let's get that woman back. She was all right. Have her every week.
You remember the Southampton game when Burke was actually smashed it, you know, and he didn't even give a penalty. But that for the goalkeeper to come out and smash Burke the way he did was three times as bad as what Sanderson did on Saturday. Yeah. We didn't even get a penalty for it. Remember, you know, and that was, again, that was at a stage of the game where we'd just gone down by a goal. Yeah. And it's probably the only thing that Burke has probably done in a blue shirt the whole season, but it was a penalty. Regardless if he gives a red card or not, if you watch that challenge back and then watch the challenge from Sanderson, there's pretty much a lot of similarities into it. Yeah. The way he led with his leg to come out and give, you know, into Burke's. Burke wasn't even facing him. It was in his back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jason Hughes makes a good point. Lots of comments about injuries, bad luck, crap refs, players out of contract as if it's just Blues, and it's not, you know, other teams suffer just the same. It's not just us. But it's just more frustrating, obviously, when it's your team, isn't it? But I think we can blame ourselves as well, though, the way we defend, for me. There's just not enough urgency there without the ball. Like I said earlier, you know, we haven't got the ball. We need to close our man down quicker and stop giving them so much room to aim at and space on the ball and time as well. And it was even frustrating the life out of me on Saturday watching it live. You know, I was saying it live and it's like, you know, when they played that through, I know Armstrong was offside, but he should never have been able to pick out that pass so easily.
No,
you know, and then they've got through us quite easily as well for the goal, obviously from the edge of the box, and even Shea Adams' goal as well. Even Shea Adams had time to fall over and stand up again and score, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I think it could be time for Sonić again. I shout the praises. Dal, I thought the Zal's done really well, but he's a creative midfielder. Sonić is a dog out there. He'll run and he'll just protect and he'll win tackles. And we miss that. We miss it because we've taken Bellic away from that and we've taken Sonić away from it. And now our midfield now are full of flair and going forward. Just don't have a clue how to defend when we lose the ball. That's our issue.
How would we feel about putting Sonić as an emergency centre half if we had to?
I wouldn't. I would put him as a six in front of Buchanan and AU, because I think he can still protect and he can still be that third centre back, but he's still got that gap in between. That's what I would do. That's his position as a six. Yeah. He'll do it, but you've got to be smart enough to say to him, listen, your job is to protect the two guys behind you because they're not real centre backs. And I think he would do that job for us. I just think that we focus a lot, as I say, on getting the ball and trying to push forward now, which we're scoring more goals, which is great. It's when we lose it and we don't have that little bit. We get the Bakuna, Bakuna for me is a great player. Just doesn't have the defence in him. He's lazy. He can't get back. You know, someone like Sonić or Bellic when he's fit in that six really helps us just protect that a little bit when we lose.
Yeah, you need that ball winner. You need that ball winner, don't you? It's so important to any team to have that player in the middle of the park that can win the ball back for you.
To be honest, Paul, I mean, going to what Mark said, I'll bring Sonić back and I'll even give him the captain's armband as well.
Yeah.
Because he was played out of the skin when he was wearing the armband. And I think I'll just make him captain again.
A lot of people asking after Craig and Claire.
They've just realised, 45 minutes in, they've just realised that Craig's not on.
So, yeah, they're both at St Andrews for an official supporters club meeting. And don't be surprised if Craig joins us a bit later if that meeting finishes early enough. If it doesn't, then they'll be back next week. And next week we're joined by, hopefully, Chris, I'll let you finish my sentence.
Somebody...
Hopefully we've got Harley Dean and Harley Dean. It's going to be the Harley Harley show.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a cracking show, though, isn't it?
That'd be really. If we can get them both on, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Because his son's just signed for Blues as well, isn't he? So great. Well, so yeah.
That was a great headline. That was, wasn't it? Harley Dean signs for Blues.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say something completely irrelevant to Blues, but some sad news today that Tony Green has passed away. From a child, I used to absolutely love Bullseye on a Sunday night when I was a kid, and one of my favourite ever programmes. And sadly today we've lost Tony Green, the legend that was on the artist people every Sunday night. I'm sure we all remember him. Maybe not Mark Meredith.
That's the bloke. It's the bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, him.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Him,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's sad.
Let's see what you could have won. Yeah.
So that's obviously the game discussed, and you know, we've got a big week ahead now, haven't we? We've got three games coming up now in the next week or so, and we need to try and get at least 4 points out of them nine, don't we? Really, if we can, at least. Mm-hmm.
I do like this comment from Anthony Bailey. He said, let's not play the victim guys and have this victim mentality.
Yeah.
We just need to attack.
Just
need to man up a little bit and just go for it.
Yeah.
But this is it. We scored three goals, so attack's not the problem. Our problem is keeping the ball out the other side right now.
Yeah,
you know, that's the biggest issue, and we've sat here for half an hour probably blaming refs and stuff like that. The fact is, Southampton were a better team than us. They possessed the ball a lot more than we did, and as Paul said at the start of the show, we sat off and allowed them to do it, and we got caught out in the end.
Sometimes you have to help yourself, don't you?
100%.
Certainly do.
Can I just bring something up? As we've got plenty of time. You know me, I sit watching old Blues videos ad nauseum, and I've been watching matches from our third division days, you know, in front of an empty St Andrews, people like Sturridge and Cleghorn and whatever. And they've shown lots and lots of goals from that particular time. And I'm sitting there watching. First of all, players in the third division are a lot smaller than players in the first division at that time. There was one match was against Crystal Palace, and Sturridge was taking on Eric Young. And yes, you know, the difference in size. Anyway, but watching these games over and over and watching the goal scored, there seems like half as many players on the pitch, right? There's loads of room everywhere. And we scored goals with balls over the top of the centre-half, crosses in, not only this tippy-tappy football round, it was bump, Nigel Clegg on left foot, round the back of the fullback, Sturridge running on, sticking it in the net.
Yeah.
And it was a completely different game. Now, that sort of crept up on me. Watching what we see today, watching what was going on then. And don't forget, we were a third division side and pretty poor, to be honest. We've 4,500 people were watching. Mark's view on this as a coach, what has changed in that time? I know I'm talking 30 years and you're probably not even that old.
Tactics. Tactics and winning is all important, I think.
Changed.
What Chris said earlier has summed a lot of it up. We coach now, and we shouldn't, but we're told to coach now on the entertainment of pretty football and playing the ball out from the back and all of this stuff where, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was get the ball to the striker as quick as you can and deal with it in the attacking third. If you look back in our history, we had John Gale, we've had Kevin Francis, we've had Nikola Zigic. We've had big, tall players that maybe aren't the best on their feet. Not that they're not bad on their feet, but everything is with their head. Mm. Get it up to them and play all of your football in the final third, because that's where you're going to get your goal. Don't mess around playing the ball from the back four. Don't mess around, because we can't do it. But Blues, over and over again, we make mistakes. We play silly little square balls. We lose it. We try to play out of the back and we fall over. It's just it's back to simple. Harry Redknapp came in a few years ago when we were in a relegation battle. He just stuck Dukie up top first game, played 4-4-2. Ball goes over the top, header, and you score and you win the game. Right? It's basic. Yeah. The game has changed in not 30 years, in 10 years, I think, to the fact that coaches now, we've got people like Pep Guardiola now that are masters at it, but he has billions of pounds to buy the best players that can do that job. Unfortunately for us as a club, we don't have that. We have to play to the strengths of our team, and I don't feel like we do that enough to get results, and that's why I think for the sixth or seventh season now, we're fighting relegation again.
I mean, how often do we see a goal, a goal kick now just kicked up the pitch rather than it kicked out to the fullback or the centre half?
Yeah, that's
never see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see it very often, do you, now?
No.
And also the pitch is all important now, whereas, in 30 years ago, you'd play in a quagmire. It didn't.
It was
still equal thing, footing, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you remember the days when you were losing with 10 minutes to go and you put someone like Darren Purse or somebody, just throw him up top for the extra striker?
Yeah.
And then just kick it. Put the pressure on the defense and win something in the air, because it's going to drop down and someone is going to get an opportunity. They don't do that now. Even when you're losing the game with 10 minutes left, they're still trying to play the same football. And unfortunately, we're not good enough to get that in the goal by playing the football we play.
I was going to mention as well the journey home from St Andrews. Alan, I know you have obviously a four-hour journey, so I don't want to sit here and moan too much, but getting out around St Andrews now in a car...
It's terrible.
Nightmare, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Funny you should mention that, because the Sunderland game, right? I walked down to the Watery Lane, across the island and towards Digbeth. And there was not one, I crossed the road there, and there was not one car going either way. And I read all the complaints. Nobody could move. Yet there was no road. There was no cars in that road. Now this week, I'm looking for the same thing, because it was a pretty good crowd. Mm. And it was chocker. it was I could have virtually walked over the roofs of the cars to cross the road, and I thought, well, what's different? And I think obviously people got away a bit quicker this week, but with the 27,000, you just can't cope. Cope with that many. I saw people pulling out. You know, they can't get out of their car, and there's a car coming the other way, and they'll just pull out and stop him to try and get out. And I watched it. I'm glad I'm walking. Basically, I'm walking up to the station. And it's a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it's just blues that's causing the problem, because you go back 12 months, you know, I used to be confident that I'd get home to only miss a few minutes of the R5 game. Now I'm lucky to watch the first half. You know what I mean?
Alan, are you walking all the way to town from the ground?
Yeah, because there's no buses.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no buses.
The buses from outside the ground on the country road, that's blocked off. By the time I get to a bus stop, I'm nearly at the station.
Like that. I start walking back up towards Digby. If the bus comes, I can jump on it back to Coventry, but I'll just go and, you know, get the train.
Do you remember that time, Alan? Do you remember the time when they used to have all the buses lined up? From the Greenway all the way down the country road?
Yeah, they used to come out. And people used to come in, they fill the bus up, and the bus would go. Yeah. And then another one would come in, they'd fill that up, and they'd go.
I think something like that would go down well, really. Free buses, I think.
Well, there's a lot of, to be honest, Chris, there's a lot of away grounds who do that. I mean, Stoke are one. Yeah. That's what they do. They just use the old buses and go back to the old days, just ferry people off.
Get them out of the way. You know? get them away from
there. Even trains at Bordesley. Like, I know some stop there because my dad gets off at Bordesley a lot. But even stopping more trains there on match days to allow people to walk to the station at Bordesley and get a train into town or out of town, wherever you're going, in what direction.
It's closed down, isn't it?
I go through Bordesley on my train from Marylebone, right? Now, I have to go up to the station, Moore Street, and get a bus back to the ground, which I get the 97, which stops on the backside of the ground. Now, why is it that on match days, that London train can't stop at Bordesley?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because 90%, by the time we reach Banbury, Blues fans are getting on, and by the time you get, it's full of Blues fans, but they have to go into town and come out again.
Yeah,
would you stop there? Would you stop there?
Yeah,
and be able to get on. Ironically, I went to see a friend of mine who lives in Alton, so I had to get off at Solihull, take the train to Alton, right? Because the train stops at Solihull and Moore Street, doesn't stop at Alton. No. So I got on another train. And then went to see him, and then I got on the Alton train, which again was absolute chock-a-block with Blues fans, and they stopped at Bordesley, and I got off there. But coming back, I had to go back into town to get on the train. It's crackers.
Well, the club obviously listened to us, so I hope they're taking notice. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked what we'd done on the car park, though. The car park was pretty good with the DJ.
Yeah.
Pop-up bars and all that. The week before, a couple of weeks before against Sunderland, we did have the pop-up bars, but I don't think we had a DJ. So they've added the DJ this week, just got it. That was pretty cool.
That was good. Cool.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Just talking about that, Paul, obviously with the DJ and stuff, I just want to mention, obviously, I know they've got the UB40 concert. I don't think there's ever been a game followed by a concert straight after. I was talking to my dad about it. I was like, if you feel the game doesn't finish until 5 o'clock, some people are going home and don't want to watch UB40. Yeah. Some of the away fans are probably all getting back on their coaches, buses, whatever. They're going to change a 45-minute... are they going to get a stage up in 45 minutes for a 5:45 start, as they say they're going to? Because that's difficult. So how long are these people going to be hanging around waiting for the concert to actually start?
Yeah,
that's the thing, isn't it? It's okay, it's an hour long concert, but you'd be waiting an hour for it to start. So
I just hope they don't lock us in.
I hope they do. I hope they leave Paul and his dad in there.
That's a good question.
That's a serious comment, because you might have people like sneaking in and whatever to watch UB40. You know what I mean? If they're opening the gates for people to go out, they might, how are they going to start people?
Let them come in.
Yeah.
Let him come in.
Yeah.
You know, they might buy a drink. They might, you know, buy a packet of crisps or whatever.
There won't be any drinks.
Yeah, and again, like, you don't know the result of the game. If you're really annoyed or whatever of the game, then you go, oh, I ain't staying here for another hour. I'm out of here, right?
Yeah, I think.
You don't know what's going to happen. It's difficult to go straight after a game into that and expect everybody to stay and watch it, I think.
If we lose 2-0 or 3-0, you're not going to want to hang around, are you?
Steve Portman just said the stage is being assembled behind the GM goal, apparently. So,
oh, okay. And then they're just going to roll it out?
Yeah. I'm guessing Preston won't bring...
Or are they going to be playing behind the GM? Oh, okay, yeah, the stadium would be on the goal. Oh, yeah, I was thinking beyond the stand then. That probably wouldn't, beyond the stand.
It's still a lot of equipment to get set up, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot to do.
In case you're pressing a kick in that way second half and then put it in the goal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose they've got a 1-in-10 chance.
Here we go.
Sorry.
It'll give them a bit more food for thought when it's shooting that way, to be fair.
Oh, for God's sake.
I thought you didn't like this stuff, kind of music. You know it all.
It's just not my genre of music, Peggy, but, you know, I've got nothing massively against it. It's just not my cup of tea, personally. But, you know,
Your red wine, is it?
He's a rat in the kitchen, isn't he?
Get in there!
I don't know whether you got me text on Saturday, but that they played 3 reggae songs just before the kickoff, and they were it was too bloody loud. I couldn't even speak to my mate next to me, and I thought, I bet Paul's loving this. And by the time they played the 3, and I thought, well, I can see why he's talking about it burning his ears. You know, I like Bob Marley and I like UB40 and all the others. You know. It ain't the same.
No. I mean...
I think it's a great gesture.
In my humble opinion, I mean, the best band I've heard from Birmingham is probably ELO, to be honest.
One of my favourites, yeah.
I would take ELO over UB40 any day of the week.
Absolutely. I said, for our 150th anniversary next year, I know it's probably a long shot, but I would love ELO to do a concert to sort of celebrate it. I'm not saying on a match day, but as in, you know, just at some point next summer.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
And another one as well is Duran Duran as well, who I could listen to.
They did want to see St Andrews before, didn't they?
Yeah,
2006.
This could be something that the club could tap into. I mean, you know, we could have bands from Birmingham following games, you know, as we get, you know, I'm not saying do it every week, but maybe once a season over the next few years.
They did it for the Commonwealth Games, didn't they? The closing ceremony, we had everybody.
Yeah.
I
mean, musical youth were about 14 when they made their hits, and they're about 60 now.
Steel
Pulse, another good reggae band, Steel Pulse. Yeah. I like them.
Very good, yeah.
Get Roby's friends out there.
I'll be a solo, I think.
Jim Tony's just put out there's a Villa fan in Duran Duran, so we don't want them.
Forget that, though. Right.
I don't want to talk about Duran too loud because my other half, Becky Love, has been a Durani for donkey's years, and she's been in the studio with them as a teenager and stuff. So,
I do believe that one of the members of Duran Duran went to the same school as me. I'm not boasting about that.
It's that bullshit.
So yeah, so it's definitely a good incentive. I think it's a great idea by the club, and I hope it goes really well. But I'll be watching from afar.
not your cup of tea, is it, Paul? Really?
No, but it doesn't. You know, I've got nothing against it, though, Chris. I just hope we don't.
It's a wonderful idea. I mean,
I think it is as well. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of better bands, but you know, I can see it'll work. Yeah. It's going to work. You know.
Yeah, I think Food for Thought. After we've won, when they play Food for Thought, I think that works in the stadium when it comes on.
Yeah. You
know? But
Talking about next, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but you know, next year for 150th, does anyone think we're going to get a really good glamour sort of friendly?
Don't know. I think they'll make a big fuss of it. I think they'll do They'll do something really special for it, I would have thought.
I'd love a big, you know, like a, dare I say, like a Barcelona or something, you know, Real Madrid.
Haven't played for about 100 years, so that would be perfect.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it?
I'm sure Sanderson will have Bellingham and Vinicius Jr. in his pocket, won't he?
Yeah.
Because I know Real Madrid opened Bournemouth new ground, didn't they, a few years back? So you, oh, really? You never know.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. No. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think Wes Thomas played against them, which is unreal. Yeah.
Can we stop the UB40 jokes now, please? The next one will get a ban.
Yeah, no. We'll move on there.
Ray Hobro.
They ain't got a song called Move On, have they? Thank God for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Ray's taking the higher ground.
Oh dear.
150th year in League One, says Andy Bona.
Dear. Yeah. Hope not.
ELO wouldn't work. Too many people would try and get in. Also, the police wouldn't allow it.
I'm saying if we had ELO as a separate on a separate night, you know, just held at Blues on St Andrews, have to be on a match day.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they could do all sorts. They could have boxing on there as well.
Yeah, they've had boxing, haven't they, in the past? They've done the British Heavyweight Championship there. Henry Cooper and...
I was 15 then, Chris.
Yeah. And...
Because he clashed with me, Ola.
Who was the other guy he fought? Because he came to our house, he did.
What's Johnny it? Preston.
Johnny Preston, that's it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He came to your house and you don't know his name.
I know, yeah. Well, I was only about three. You know what I mean? I
used to sit near Johnny Prescott at matches. Is he still alive?
I doubt it. I don't know. I doubt it. He was a friend of my dad's. So he must be older than you.
Simon Corbett said. Robin Corbett said the quo. I presume he's referring to status quo and
Abram. Yeah, there's only one of them left. No. There's only one original left now.
They're Cockneys, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're Cockneys, Cockneys now.
They are. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Not a bad band, though. I'll never forget, what was the song they played in Cardiff when we beat Norwich on penalties?
Oh, Rocking All Over the World.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that song, it just reminds me of Cardiff, yeah.
I just said I'll never forget that, and now I forgot the name, and then I forgot the name of the song, but I'll never forget the moment.
Johnny Prescott. Boxing would be good. I would pay to see Rooney get knocked out.
He actually came from a boxing family, didn't he, Rooney? He wants to be.
He's
on court with his dad, and I think he's got an older brother somewhere. I know that his younger brother was a footballer as well, but it was a boxing family, the Rooneys, in Liverpool.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Hughes makes a good point. We can't even sort out a Trevor Francis statue in 30 years, let alone sort a friendly out. That is a shame, really, isn't it?
You know, there's got to be something on the agenda, I think.
I think it's in the pipeline.
We didn't. I mean, he had his funeral in Marbella, didn't he? But you would have thought that there's something, you know, a memorial service or something put on in the town.
Yeah.
You know, he's our most famous son. You know, he beats James Watt by a mile. But you know what I mean? And nothing was done, Yeah, I know. They put that memorial up outside and put it in the ground for a couple of weeks. But, you know, do you think if Kenny Dalglish died, that people in Liverpool wouldn't want something to mark his passing? It's mind you, they wouldn't let us have a parade for winning the cup. So, you know, if somebody died, they'd probably.
I think if they get the new stadium, they may do some name a stand or put a statue in as they build the stadium. You know,
that may be just what they're waiting for. You know,
that's what I think. Yeah. Surely they can't let it go unnoticed. Surely,
no. I can't. They've got to. I think when we do move, which will be within the next 6 or 7 years, I think it'll happen. It will happen.
Mm.
But I must say, on the positive side, I do like the way we're going forward now. When we've got the ball, we're much better with the ball now than what we were. It's just that we seem to have got worse without it.
Yeah.
We can find it. It's all about finding that happy medium and hopefully, stop letting in soft goals and continue scoring at the rate that we're scoring at. You know, and then hopefully we can get enough points on the board between now and the end of the season to see us through and keep us above that dreaded bottom three.
That's the one positive, isn't it, Paul? We're not losing to teams around us. We are losing against the high, you know, the higher teams. So, yeah, there's a few positives to take.
Yeah. I mean, saying that, though, Mark, we did lose to Stoke at home and Sheffield Wednesday away. They're both well,
yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, no, overall, we're doing too bad there, but we just need to get some points on the board and do it quick, you know, starting tomorrow night.
We didn't beat Huddersfield either, did we? Or did we?
We are useless when it, at home. We did at home, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course
you
did, yes.
Yeah, 3-1, 3-1, when it Dembélé got to.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's do our predictions now, then we might as well, mightn't we?
So, yeah, just before that, Paul, I think we should say thanks to everybody who came last week to the live event. We really enjoyed it. It was brilliant.
Really good night, wasn't it? The live event was great, yeah. I hope everyone that came, that was in the audience, enjoyed it as well. And it worked really well there, didn't it? And while we're on the subject of the studio as well, please come and join me this Thursday night as well with Michael Morrison and Paul Robinson at the so-called studios in Aycot Screen for the captain's night as well. I've got some good fun stuff lined up for them as well, so it should be bound to be a good night.
Yeah, it's a great little venue, that is, isn't it? It's a great little venue, nice, cozy.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
Can I say from a distance, the whole thing looked very, very well, you know, very professionally done. Mm. It looked like a proper radio, stroke, you know, video, whatever occasion, you know. Not quite as good as Question Time, but you know, it looked proper. It was a proper deal.
It was a good night. Excellent. Good night.
Only
took me 9 hours to set that up.
But, well done to Dennis on that one, huh?
Yeah, well done. It's a great little venue. I think we made a couple of mistakes, which we'll rectify for next time we do it. But it was good. Good night.
That's the only way we learn, isn't it? By mistake.
Yes, exactly.
Predictions then for tomorrow night and predictions for Saturday as well, we might as well do. So we've got Hull away tomorrow night, haven't we? And then Millwall away on Saturday, is it? Sorry?
Mm. Yeah. That's right. Two-way game.
Yeah. Oh, you know when you're 95% sure and that 5% makes you apologise in case you're wrong. Hull away on tomorrow night, then I'm going to go 1-1. And Millwall away, I'm going to go 0-0. So I'm going to reckon 2 points out of the next six. I reckon we're going to draw two there.
I think we'll.
Yeah, sorry.
So I was going to say 1-1. A patched up team will get a 1-1 tomorrow, and I think we'll get a 2-2 on Saturday. I think 2 points.
Okay, Alan.
I'm inclined to agree with the two draws, but I don't think there will be two draws. I think there will be one draw and one nutter draw. Yeah, I think I got a feeling we might win tomorrow.
I know, but
because nobody's expecting us to, because we've only got half a team.
We don't win at all, do we?
Millwall's funny place. You know, I've been there about 10 times and I've only seen us lose once. That was the first time I went. But I'm not going Saturday. I can't get a ticket, and I certainly ain't going to sit with the Millwall fans, so I'm going to sit and watch it here on the screen. Mm-hmm. So my good luck ain't coming with them, so they're going to do it on their own. So I'll probably go for that to be a draw.
Yeah,
because again, Millwall beat somebody they had no right to beat, didn't they, on Saturday? Who was that?
They won at. Who did they beat? Millwall. They did win somewhere good, didn't they?
Was it Sunderland?
I think it was. Yeah, Sunderland away. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah. 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 Mark and Chris. Right, Mark Meredith and Chris, give us your predictions for tomorrow on Saturday.
I honestly think we'll lose both. I hate to say that, but I just think with the defence that's going to be in the next couple of games. I think 2-0 Hull tomorrow, and I'm saying probably a 1-0 loss Saturday. And again, my heart would say I'd definitely take 2 points out of the six, but my head says right now that I think we aren't strong enough with what we've got right now to go to both places and get anything.
Yeah. Obviously, I hope you're wrong.
Sorry, I probably wrecked the show.
Yeah, I'm probably going with
Mark, that. That sounds far too logical.
We're not expected to get anything, are we, at all? So I'm going to go for a win. I'll go for a win at Hull and a loss at Millwall.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm. No, people pointed out that it was Watford that Millwall beat. Sorry,
yeah, it was. Yeah,
I think Lilypad had a question earlier, didn't she, Chris? Have you still got that anyway?
I've just seen it coming up regarding... I've got it. Question, if each one of you could pick any footballer that have passed on from any teams to make up a start 11 at Blues, who would it be and why? Do you understand that?
No.
Not me.
We're dead?
We're dead?
I think. I'm guessing.
Any players that have... Right, Diego Maradona.
George Best.
Best.
You've got Bobby Moore.
Bobby Moore.
We've got to be careful.
Trevor Francis might get in.
I think so, Francis.
I think she probably means... Does she mean Blues players that have passed on? Players that have played for Blues that have passed on or out of football ever? Do you know what I mean?
Got to have Gil Merrick in goal then.
Yeah.
It's got to be. If start making up a starting 11 at Blues, who would it be? So I'm guessing it must be.
Out of absent Blues players that play for Blues.
Yeah.
Okay. Trevor's definitely up front, isn't he?
Yeah.
Gil Merrick, TF.
Ian Handersides, and I'm trying to think. There's probably Ablett, a lot there.
Gary Ablett as well, yeah.
Roger Hind.
Yeah.
For my time, but...
Oh, Terry Cooper. Terry Cooper would be a great left back.
Yeah, left back.
Was he left back, Alan?
He didn't play, did he?
No, but he was a manager.
He was a manager,
Yeah, so we'll have that. Yeah.
I think the forward line from the 60s of Mike Hallowell, Jimmy Bloomfield, Jimmy Harris, Ken Leake and Bertie Auld might, at least four of them would be knocking on the door of any all-time great side.
Eddie Brown?
I never saw Eddie Brown. I've heard him talk. He's a very funny man.
What about
Howie
Kendall?
To be honest, we could put up a great team, really, couldn't we?
A good team, man.
And Frankie, fun time, Frankie Worthington.
Frankie Worthington. Yeah.
Somebody said Christian Benitez earlier as well. Bless him, yeah. There's not many in our time, obviously. Mark. There's not many of many players that most of. I'm pleased to say that most players that I've seen are still here.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and John Fran and Paul Tate are not dead, so you can't say anything.
keep them going.
Thinking about the team that Trevor played in that got promoted with Latchford and Hatton and all those, it's ironic he was the youngest member of that team, and he's probably, apart from Roger Hind, Stan
Harland. What was his name?
Malcolm Page's Gary Sprake,
Dave
Latchford, Bob Latchford, Bob Hatton, that's all still knocking about and healthy.
I don't know if Gary Sprake is alive, isn't it? I think he didn't.
Gary's lifestyle was not the type that was going to live forever.
No, and he was an awful goalkeeper when he came to Blues, really.
It wasn't great.
But we have had some great players over the years, though, and hopefully we can get those days back. You know, over the next 3 to 5 years, I'll say. I'd like to think that we'll be sitting. I mean, in 2 years' time from now, we'll be sitting watching much better players than what we are now. You know, if obviously what these new owners are saying, you know, they can actually pull off what they're saying, they can actually deliver what they're telling us, then, which I think they will. It's just going to take time. And I think for me, relegation this season is unthinkable for that reason, you know, because if we can stay up this season, then I think we are in for much better times, you know, from next summer on, from this coming summer onwards, if we do stay up.
It's about limping through, and it limp through to May and then just get rid of the deadwood and then just rebuild. I know we keep saying it, but I mean, if the worst came to the worst, and I hope I'm completely wrong, if we did ever go down, I don't think they'd walk away. I think it'd just be a blip, but I think they'd be determined to put it right.
David Sullivan did exactly the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he came in, threw money at everything, and we still went down.
Still went down, yeah.
And you know, he got us from the third division to the Premiership. I did hear a quote from Mr. Cook. He spoke to a group of football people.
Oh, sorry, but Craig's coming on. Said,
yeah, spoiled it, didn't he? In a year or two's time, we'll be talking about one of the greatest football clubs on earth.
Oh, look who's here.
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. Can't hear them, so that's brilliant.
I was going to say, they're talking on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can smell the whiskey from here.
Hello.
Oh, that's better.
Like a pair of drunks,
don't they? Doing all right? You all right, Claire and Craig?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. But Blues matters at the moment. Oh, if okay. I'm the Alliance.
Where about you?
Those guys, they gave you jumpers.
Turn your background.
I'm going to switch off the picture in the background so you can all see where we are in the posh sheets.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not in the Alliance, you're in the Tilton there.
No, we are in the Alliance for a minute, yes. But...
it might be in
just switch it off.
Probably in Craig's back garden. Look at him, he hasn't got a clue when he comes to
technology. Ah, that's it. Background and effects.
That's how it looks.
Exactly the same.
There we go. So we are.
Oh, there you go. That's better.
Yeah. Do you want to give everyone an update on what's happened so far tonight?
Well, we all met up and we were talking about all the different like groups and everything. And then we've all kind of branched off and... we were just talking about really the strengths, the weaknesses, things that we need to look at. And then each group are going to meet. So I'm doing the men's match day and you're doing the ladies.
I've got the ladies games, yes. Yeah. So in terms of the content and what people have gone through. But what's been interesting is hearing the points of views of all the different people involved. So there's always, with the Blues Matters, somebody from the club. Yeah. Then there's somebody leading that that's generally a fan. So Ellie, for example, is doing the ladies. Who's doing yours, Claire?
I can't remember his name. Is it? I don't know. I don't remember. It's all a bit of a whirlwind.
One job.
It's the one thing I can say is, you know, there's going to be a lot that goes on with Blues Matters across all the different areas, and it's going to be something that the club will be publicising. And the idea is that we get the feedback and then that's acted upon. So with all of what we've just gone through, it's not about just saying we're going to have a whinge. It's actually about what can we do to improve things? How can we change it? And then that will be acted upon. So as it puts to us, no idea is a harebrained idea. You know, if it was cost 70 grand, as I said to us, it just definitely wouldn't happen. But, you know, if there's things that can be done in a short space of time to help improve things, then they'll listen. So there's going to be a lot of involvement. There's also going to be a lot that goes into the open house and stuff like that. So there'll be way more interaction than I think people will have ever seen before. So, watch out really for more.
Sounds interesting.
And any ideas and things like that, if people want to obviously let us know, obviously me for the men's match day and
me for ladies.
The ladies, then obviously just let us know. Obviously, we're not medical workers, so, you know, just about getting hot water is enough. but I think it's all about, like, making sure that everybody's included and things like that. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good stuff. Did anyone mention the acoustics? Like, the sound? Because that seems to be getting worse, doesn't it, every week?
As soon as you said that, Mark, your sound went
off. Oh, no, we couldn't hear a word you were saying.
We've spoken about the sound. A lot of it's going to be next year now. They've got, apparently, there's speakers within the main stand that I didn't even know. And I said, obviously, now we're doing who, because we haven't got a clue who they're actually talking about, say who to. So, but there's so many different things that we've all said. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the other thing that I want to put out there, I mean, I've said it on the show many occasions now, it's about getting more people down into the game to watch the ladies. So, you know, I'll be interested in people's thoughts on what stops them coming today. Now, if it's not, you know, it'll be not just somebody's kettle of fish, and I totally get that, and that feedback is still feedback. But what's the driver is more around the families and the side of things and how we can get more interaction with schools, with clubs and associations that are doing stuff with the ladies game already. You know, what else can we do to encourage people to St Andrews or as it kept referring to, St Andrews at Knighthead Park.
Yeah.
To get people, more and more people down here to support. And there has been an increase in attendances, you know, below 1,000 to start the season, just shy of 1,800 at the last game. So there's improvements, but what else can we do to bring that along?
And the main point was, we didn't have any fireworks on Saturday, which I didn't obviously recognise. Yeah. But it's, do you still want the fireworks? Is it, are we a safe club for children to turn up? Would you bring your family here? Would you say that, you know, do we have the long family experience? It's not just, right, let's go down to the pub. Is there more we can do? We were talking about, like, stewarding. There's so many things that came up that, you know, we've got somebody in there, which hopefully we can get him on the show. That's going to be my aim, who's been supporting this club since forever. And literally, he has missed 5 games throughout his whole, like, loving the Blues. And he was just an inspiration to talk to. He used to live in Ireland and come over. And, you know, these are the people that make our club. And it was an honour to even be in the same room as him, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the fireworks work well on the night games. But in the afternoon kickoffs at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, I think it's a bit of a waste. Of, you know, you don't get the same feel. It's not the same effect.
No.
I know there's a lot of people talking about transport. We will be looking at that as well. But again, we were talking for half an hour and we didn't even get onto that. So I think the men's match day, we're going to be quite busy.
Indeed. That was brought up about the ladies as well, was the fact that some people just cannot get here because there isn't the transport links that we would like. There's a lot of different things that have come about. The other thing that was mentioned was about the supporters clubs. Now, it's been obviously released now that we have various supporters clubs that are affiliated to the club. I'd just like to say I got my first set of feedback following the show last week. And thank you to Kim, who sent it over. You know, we got that into the club and the club acted upon it. So the one thing that I can say is, not just from tonight, but overall, if people feedback using the official channels and to the right areas, the messages get across and the messages will be acted upon. Might not be straight away, but they will do something about it. So all feedback, positive and negative, please get across to us so that we can get those details to the club.
And the surveys you get, they actually do look at them and the data. So I did say when Rooney was involved, I did put a lot of people were like, what's the problem with the match day? Well, it was Rooney using the dugout and things like that. I have said that obviously we've got to stay up this season or else we're already 10 years behind. We will be another 5 years behind if we don't stay up. So I said, we can talk about all this all you like, but if we don't stay up, do you know what I mean? So I think on the pitch, if we improve on the pitch, then obviously more people will come. There's so many ideas out there. So obviously we're not miracle workers, but it might be, you know, obviously I can see like a lot of transport things coming up on the socials and things like that. So just let us know. But obviously, if there is something that you think actually that would improve it, you know, the people here are the best people to kind of like talk to.
Yeah. Who's who's hosting the event there tonight? Is it Jeremy Dale or Gary Cook?
He's here. Jake's here. Jake was the one who was doing it. There's some people on Zoom. But it was quite a full house, isn't it, Lily? Yeah.
We had Sarah Westwood join in from the club as far as the ladies are concerned. That's going to be Hope Powell moving forwards. You've got Dale Moon here as well. So there's a proper assortment of people that have got, you know, an involvement. Bick Singh's here. So yep. Bick is going to be heading up the South Asia side of things. And so his involvement, obviously, is going to be huge as well. So there's a proper mixture. And you know, the one thing I can say is the word of tilt and talk is definitely out there. People do listen.
Yeah.
People do watch.
They look on social media. Yeah, they're looking all over Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook. So they do watch and they do actually take into account a lot of things that we do say. I think because how we do it on here as well, we're quite to the point, but we're opinionated as well. They can see the passion because that's what they want to see. That was first thing on their thing. Give us the passion. You know, everybody is a Birmingham City fan. Everybody's got an opinion. It's just great. It's been really good. Actually.
It's really, really, really positive. And that's the one thing that I would say is they started with the open house. And it was actually how they opened up this evening. It was a breakdown of what they've done so far. So when they first took over, there was a promise of six things. Those six things now have actually all come to fruition. They've launched the Blues Matters groups. They've done the first open house. They've got the official supporters clubs there. All of those routes improve communication. And there's just so much more to come. It's scary. And it's not 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. They're talking tonight about these groups, 3 year plan. So there's a lot to go on. But communication is two way. So we've got to continue it. And they will listen.
And those who haven't got in on this tonight, because obviously we're lucky that we managed to get chosen for whatever reason, is they are still going to include them in other things as well. So if you do get involved, your voice will still be heard. And I think the more that we did say weaknesses because we're not perfect and we're nowhere near perfect, but we're a lot better than we were 6 months ago. Yeah. So actually, there's still things to improve. There's always things to improve. They were comparing us to Man City. Obviously, they're kind of like model. Obviously, we are a lot further away from that. But I think if the football improves on the pitch, we've got to stay up. We've got to hopefully play better than we did the weekend and try and score some goals and win some football matches. But it's for the overall match day, getting that next generation in. You know, we've all supported this club since we were little. We remember our first game or the highlight of our games, and it's all been the experience. You know, 4 years old, are you going to remember the game? No, you're going to remember buying that hot dog and getting that shirt and seeing Bo Brummy. And I think definitely needs to come back.
Yeah, needs to return back to old.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing you said there, Claire, is that the main thing. But any football club that gets bums on seats is the results, isn't it? The results on the pitch of that league.
Yeah,
and that league position that we're in as well. We're all tired of, 17th or below, aren't we? Or finishing around 17th every season. And,
getting boring, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it would be nice to have a season finishing above 17th. And we can still do that this season.
Have a safe season would be great. It'd be great to be safe by, March, April. And then just chill for a bit and just enjoy it. And then you could get kids £4. Then you can get all these people down because actually we're safe. We're playing football freely. So we'll see. But we've got to beat Hull and Millwall first.
I did ask earlier, I'll ask you guys because you've joined us. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your relegation worried radar?
I think with 13 games to go playing the teams around us, would 10 be really worried?
10 would be, relegation.
I would say a 4 or 5 at the moment. Ask me in 4 games' time if we haven't won any of them, then I think by Easter we will know where we're going to be because we've got QPR over Easter. I think we've got Preston as well. March is our biggest month. If we can win some games in March, we will be fine. If we do not pick up points in March, it will turn into an 8.
And I think I'd be the same on that. It's key to get the results that are going on at the present moment and to get a few points over the line. And tell you what, I don't want to play pretty football. I don't care if it's scrappy or what. What we saw at the weekend, if that performance is put up against the likes of the Rochdales, the Millwalls, and the teams
of it. Rochdale.
Rotherham, sorry. Yeah, Rochdale.
losing
you already.
The drugs are kicking in.
Well, if we play like that, we did the weekend, though, against those teams in and around us, then we are going to get results. And the thing is, we're all scrapping. So actually, going into the games, where you say we're away from home or we're playing at home, it's even keel at the moment because neither teams around us want to lose. And that, to me, plays into our favour a little bit. So, I'd say four at the moment, but we'll move that forwards over the next few weeks. And hopefully, I'm turning around and saying 1 or 2 in the next couple of weeks. That's where I'd like to be.
Because the feedback from the audience and most of us on here was quite a bit higher than you guys, wasn't it, mm-hmm. Alan?
Yeah. Well, I said eight. Yeah.
It's seven.
I think everyone went into panic. That's the problem. Everybody, we played Southampton. When we played them away, we were absolutely shocking. I was there. It was awful. Like, it was, you couldn't even put a number on it, how bad we were. Considering now we've given them a game, okay, we can't defend to save our lives, but we haven't been able to defend for years. But at least we scored some goals, and to be fair, with Sanderson's a red card, I'm not going to bring that up because that's, you've probably gone through it. Personally, I don't think so. Miyoshi, was he offside for that one shot he had? No. We haven't got the rub of the green. Like, they were offside. I mean, Armstrong was miles off from the pictures that I've seen. Yeah. So we need to get the rub of the green. Millwall have got the new manager bounce. Stoke have got, they got a new manager. I think so. They've got like a manager bounce as well, or something going on there. QPR have got a new manager bounce. We need to keep together. And if we panic, that's when we will end up going down. So we're not world beaters, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Portman's asking who is representing the disabled supporters there tonight.
So Longy was doing the, she's heading up as far as the group is concerned for all of the equality and diversity. There wasn't specifically people here. There is a gentleman whose name, Clinton Farquharson.
CBA.
He is going to be massively involved in the EDI side of things. So I think he will be one of those representatives. There wasn't anybody else direct, though, from any of the groups. It's not, I suppose, in a way, that's more the to come, I think, because there are also people on Zoom who we didn't see.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing.
Okay. And then very quickly, before Chris blows the full-time whistle, give us your predictions for Tuesday.
I would take a 1-1 at Hull. I think they're flying. Hopefully, because I'm going on Saturday, shock. I hope that we can beat Millwall, because last time it took me 4 hours to get home. So fingers crossed we can get a result. I'll say 2-1 against Millwall. Let's hit them in their own backyard.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for...
sorry, Claire.
I fancy us for a cheeky 1-0 tomorrow night.
Cheeky 1-0 tomorrow night, yeah.
And then 1-1 on Saturday. The one thing I would say, it's probably been mentioned, but safe travels to anybody that's going. You know, if you normally go on the public transport, be aware that there are issues with the trains and tubes getting to Millwall. So please, for any fans, be safe and enjoy the day. I hope everything goes well.
Well, yeah. I can't find a whistle, so you're going to have a... There you go. Sorry.
Okay. So you reckon a draw, sorry, Claire. I didn't catch your prediction at Hull. Was it 1-1? Sorry.
I'll take 1-1. If we can
1-1.
Sneak a win, happy days.
Yeah, no worries. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We've been the Tilton Talk Show yet again, and sponsored by Small Affordable Cars. It's good night from me, Paul Vickis, and it's good night from Alan Watton.
Good night, everybody.
And good night from Mark Adams.
Good night from me. Good night from Mark in America.
Thank you, Mark Robe. Good night from me. It's a good night from... Craig and Claire at St. Andrews.
Good night from us, Kiba. I'm from here.
And good night from here. Have a great one. And over to Mrs. Brown.
And it's a good night from me. Good night.
Oh, I like this.
You know what? We're not doing it from home anymore. We're
going to
stay here.
I know. That's better than the pretty self.
Have you got any pockets? Is there any nice biscuits?
Really nice biscuits, tea, coffee, you name it.
Is there any friends for Rome?
No. We're told them all to go away.
Oh, careful.
Hello, everyone.
Right. And there you go, you can have a view of the Alliance. And even if you want to. The nice. Fortress.
Oh, that's better.
What stand are you in?